I'm just giving everybody a chance to catch their breath. Amen. Good song service today. Good to be in the house of the Lord. Good to see everybody come this way. And I tell you what, we're coming in Thanksgiving week. And if you're not thankful yet, you need to get started, because it'll be here before you know it. And we've got a lot of things to be thankful for in the church. And I'm sure you've got a lot of things to be thankful for in your life and things that God's done for you. Got a few verses of scripture I want to share with you this morning. Thoughts on my mind and things I want to try to get across. I want to tell you very plain, I'm going to bring God's message. This is not my message. I might tell you something different or something strange, but I've learned a long time ago that if we'll follow and do God's will and bring God's message, it will have an effect. It says it will not come back void, but will accomplish therewith what it was sent to do. And I'm thankful for that promise of God. I want to start off looking at just a couple of verses of Scripture in 1 Timothy, if you'll turn there with me. 1 Timothy chapter 6, and I'm going to read verse 6 and 7, and I want us to think about things that God's Word brings to us and tells us without any doubt or any shadow. This is not hard to understand. You know, I have people that will tell me, well, I don't understand that. Well, I want you to know that the understanding comes as a gift of God through the Holy Spirit, but this is not going to be hard for anybody here to understand. In 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6, it said, but godliness with contentment is great gain. In verse 7, it said, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. Now, I want you to think about that. You know, it's certain that we didn't bring anything in, and it said, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And I thought, well, if we can't carry it out, if we can't take it with us, why don't we share it with somebody while we're here? And I'm talking spiritual, I'm talking physical, I'm talking all the things God's blessed us with. If we know that we're not going to take it with us, why don't we share it and use it while we're here on this earth, and God gives us opportunity to uplift or strengthen or encourage somebody through His Word and our ability that He gave us that we uplift. So now turn to 1 Timothy chapter 2, and let's look at a verse or so there. 1 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1, it said, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceful life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who will have all men to be saved and come unto the knowledge of the truth. And so we start talking about the will of God, and His will is very plain here that He would have all men to come unto the knowledge of the truth and be saved. And I thought about the opportunity God gives us as His sons and daughters on this earth, scattered among all these ungodly people, all these unbelievers, that we have a testimony, that we have a report from God about Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And I get thinking about, you know, we're not going to take it with us, so why don't we share it while we're here? Nothing's going to pass here. And so when we get down to this point, knowing the will of God, I think we ought to be focused more on having God's will done in our life than our will or what we want or what we think, but the will of God and His thoughts transmitted through us to an ungodly, dying world. I get excited about this. In verse 5, it said, for there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. And so when we get down to this verse 5 and 6, and we start thinking about one God is good for the whole world and everybody, there's not many gods that people can serve or follow after. It said there's one God. And it said there's one mediator between God and us, and that's the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, the man, Jesus Christ. And so I'm so thankful today that when we pray, I want you to understand that Jesus says, and He goes to God for us, and He is our mediator. And so we have a ability today that we can talk to God, to the Lord Jesus Christ. We can change things in our community. We can change things in our home. We can change things in our school. We can change things in our government. because we've got the power of God within us that when we decide, okay, we're not going to take it with us, let's use it while we're here. Everybody needs to be busy. We all need to be a busy people. Now we start talking about working and doing things for God, sharing this gospel of Jesus Christ that God has blessed us with, that we have written versions and written word of it. We have the testimony of the Holy Spirit within us that we know that God is real and He made the plan for salvation for a lost and dying world. This goes a little bit farther in 2 Timothy chapter 1. If you'll look over there with me. 2 Timothy, I'm going to change that just a little bit. I want to go to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I want us to talk about the strength. I want to talk about this. It's encouraging us to be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And I want us to talk about strength just for a little while. Don't everybody here like to have strength? You know, the strength to do this and the strength to do that and the strength to maintain and continue on with life. And I know strength is a major factor in our lives. Without strength, we're helpless. But this is encouraging us that we be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. So when we start talking about the strength, And a lot of people say, well, I'm just not strong in that. And I'm talking spiritually mainly. I know a lot of people that can pick up 100 pounds or pick up 50 pounds or whatever. But I'm talking mainly spiritual, that we have spiritual strength, that we continue and do the will of God. Like I said earlier, we're not going to take it with us. Let's use what we got while we're here. And you start thinking about the strength that God gives us spiritually to be a witness. And you think about the opportunity that God blesses each of us with, that we have a testimony for the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. When we get into this strength, and we think about strength, and a lot of people say, well, I just can't do that. I want to explain just a minute, take just a second to talk about the strength that we have through this grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, we have God's Word that tells us about this. If you'll look over real quickly in 2 Corinthians, 2 Corinthians chapter 12. And let's read this word just for a few minutes. 2 Corinthians chapter 12. 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 6. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seemeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. So we're talking about this thing that God has given to, buffer us. And I think about the problems and the troubles that comes in this world and the excuses that come from them. I don't feel good today. I don't think I'll do it. I've got a cold. My leg hurts. I'm just not 100% today. I want you to know sometimes God gives us these things and allows these things to happen in our life that we depend on Him. That we look to God, that we understand. And Paul was making this very plain in this scripture, this word of God. He said, you know, I've got it. He said, lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations that God had given him. And I think about the distraction that he gave Paul that he might not be uplifted to a point that he think he had it perfect. Because when we start depending on our ability, on our works and what we can do, we've got problems in the world. But when we start depending on God and His power through the Holy Spirit working through us, it's unlimited what we can accomplish. There's nothing impossible with God. And so if we start working in the will of God, I'm telling you, there's no impossibility. ability for us to accomplish in this life. You got a problem? God may have gave it to you that you might look to Him. But we talk about strength. And Paul said, I besought the Lord thrice for this. And verse 9, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weakness. And I thought, praise God, all these times that we've got these weaknesses, God's allowed, that He's just making it perfect, His strength perfect in us. And most gladly, therefore, I will rather glory in my infirmity that the power of Christ may rest upon me. When you've got trouble, and I'm telling you, we're in a world of trouble. We're in a world of turmoil and problem and sickness and physical ailments. And we're also in a world of spiritual sickness where people are not strong in God, that they've got a spiritual problem. You know, everywhere around us you look and there's trouble. But I get thinking about that through these troubles, through these problems, through these infirmities we have, God is strengthening us and preparing us to do the work that He plans for us to do. You want to be strong in God? Get weak. That you know, that's just beyond all people's recognition and thoughts, you know, but God don't think like we do. He said, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Verse 10 said, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. Contrary to what the world tells you. You know, the world will say, well, you can't be weak and strong both. But God says you can. God said that through your weakness, you are made strong. And that when we start talking about things that would hinder us from the work of God, because, you know, I've got this ailment, I've got that infirmity, I've got this problem, I've got that problem, I'm too busy. I get thinking about this a lot. And it said that when we come to the point to realize that we're weak and we've got a problem, then God can truly use you to accomplish His will. And His will is that all come to the knowledge of truth and salvation. That's good to know. That's good to know. When I think about this a lot, in 2 Timothy chapter 2, let's look there just for a minute. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Now, verse 3 said, thou therefore endure hardness as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. Now, when I look at these two verses, that he wants them to commit to faithful men what they have heard. He said, you've heard it of me under faithful witnesses. He said, I want you to be able to teach others also. You know, I got excited about this last night. I'm thinking, well, if people truly listen to this Word of God, if people really pay attention to what God is speaking to them today, this sermon I preach here today, this Word of God that I deliver to you through the Holy Spirit, ought to go out of this church, out into this community, home to your family, where you work tomorrow, down to the schoolhouse, because we ought to be committing that and able to teach others, because we have this power of God working within us. And that gets a little bit exciting to think, well, it's not just limited right here to the church. It's going to get outside the church. It's going to get home with us. It's going to get to the place we work with us. And it starts talking about that He wants us to bear this news and spread this gospel of Jesus Christ. And it talks about being a good soldier to endure the hardness. Now, I thought about the hardness. A lot of people are discouraged this day and time. I've got a pastor friend that's discouraged at this time. He said, nobody listens anymore. They don't want to hear it. Whether they want to hear it or not, it's their business. Our business is to tell them. That's plain as I know how to tell it. We don't have to make them believe it. And we're not responsible with them after we deliver it to them, this message of Christ. what they do with it is their business. But we're still responsible to spread the gospel of Jesus Christ as His children, as sons and daughters of God, as the body of Christ, the church. We've got a responsibility that we get out and do that. And I know people get discouraged. And I know when you get out in the world, people don't want to hear it, you know. And people will say, well, I'm not religious, or I'm not this, I'm not that. But it's still our responsibility to take it out. And when we start talking about the discouragement end of it, I want to cover that just a little bit. Let's look at Galatians chapter 6, I believe is where we want to go. Galatians chapter 6. Let's look at that. When you fighting against discouragement, when you're in a process and you think, well, nobody wants to hear it and I'm just wasting my time. I want to encourage everybody here that your work for God is never a waste of time. Never a waste of time. Now, it may seem like it. You know, you may think that. That's something the devil would use to discourage you, to hinder you from continuing doing the work that God called on you to do. But in Galatians chapter 6 and verse 6, it said, let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. And so it starts talking again about teaching, about communicating. In verse 7, it said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. So we've got a choice what we're going to sow. I'm telling you, God gives us a choice. But understand, God said he won't be mocked. What you sow, that's what's going to return to you. So we need to be sowing the good seed of God. We need to be expelling or talking to people about the Spirit of God and the joy and the happiness and pleasure that comes with it. But when you start getting discouraged and you think it's not worth my time, it's not worth my effort, let's look down in verse 9. It said, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. Praise God, hallelujah. I'm going to tell you that if you'll just continue and not quit and don't faint, you will reap. You will see a reward from God for the work that you do on this earth with brothers and sisters that are lost and undone on their way to hell. I'm expecting a reward. I'm expecting to reap. And as we therefore have opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are the household of faith. And I've thought about the opportunity we have in this day and time. We're in a world of terrorist attacks. It's getting to be a commonplace thing every day. You hear something else. We're in a world of ungodliness. And I think about the opportunity that God has blessed us with as His people, as sons and daughters of God, saved by the grace of God, and the opportunity He gives us to share this testimony and give this witness of Christ and the power of God to a lost and dying world. We need to be shouting it from the rooftops. We need to be declaring it everywhere we go that people understand and know, well, that's a child of God and they've got good news. They've got a message for us. Let us not be weary in well-doing. I like that. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'm asking you, don't faint. God's speaking to somebody's heart today. Don't quit. Don't give up. Don't faint. Just continue on in the work that God has called on you to do. 2 Timothy in chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. No man that warreth entangle himself with the affairs of this life. Well, that sounds different, don't it? No man that warreth, in other words, once you're in the battle for God, once you're in the battle for the church, once you've took up your place here and decided that we want to further the gospel of Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world, it said no man entangleth himself with the affairs of this life. This ought to be one of the most important things you do in life. And a lot of people are thinking, well, wait a minute, I got to work, got to make a living. You're not going to take it with you anyway. Had a guy tell me the other day, as long as he had two nickels in his pocket to rub together and he died, he'd be happy. And I thought, amen. You know? And so when we come down to this part, and it says, when God has chosen him to be a soldier. Now, when I think about soldiers, that's somebody that fights, right? That's somebody that goes to battle and fights. And that's what God's calling on us to do, that we go to battle, that we fight, we stand up, and we stand strong as a church, as the children of God, and we let people know, oh, by the way, God's gave us the keys to the kingdom. We're the ones that hold it. Yeah, y'all don't have the power. Y'all don't have the authority. Only we, the body of Christ, the church, have the keys to the kingdom, and we've got a say-so in this thing as it comes out. In verse 11, it said, it's a faithful saying, for if we shall be dead with him, we shall also live with him. If we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. He will also deny us. In verse 13, I want to give some folks some hope. I made a visit a while back, hospital visit, man, I'm going to have some surgery. Got ready to leave. I asked him, I said, could I pray with you? He said, no, I'm not religious. I don't believe it. Well, you know, that's not my first time to hear that. That's not the first time it's happened. At least he is honest and told me straight up. And I said, could I pray with him? He said, no, not religious. Well, I didn't pray standing there, but guess what? I went straight out in my truck and went to the Lord for him. Prayed anyway. But I thought about that through the last few days, and I went back and looked up this scripture in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13. It said, if we believe not, now understand this, if we believe not. So here's a man that don't believe, right? I know a lot of people that don't believe. They just don't confess it straight up, don't open their mouth and speak it. But it said, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Because he didn't believe it, don't mean God's not. Because he didn't accept it or believe it, don't mean that God don't watch over and take care of him. I believe God helped him through the surgery. It said, very plain, it said, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful, he cannot deny himself. So God is real, whether he believed it, or they believe it, or anybody believes it or not, God's still real, and he's still God of them as well as he is of us. And then it comes down very plainly in verse 14, it said, of these things put them in remembrance, charging them before the Lord, that they strive not about words to no profit, but to subvert the subverting of the hearers. In verse 15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And so we have instructions for God that when we go out, how to accomplish what God sent us to do. And I just read the scripture. And then if they believe it or they don't believe it, it don't matter. God's still God. God's still on the throne. And God's still in control and in charge of their life, whether they like it or not. People don't understand that. Just because they don't believe it don't mean God's not. And it said he cannot deny himself. I tell you, we've got to one of the greatest opportunities right now. You know, I think a lot of times about the old-time church. Y'all ever heard about the old-time church where they stand in the parking lot and open the windows, couldn't get everybody in the house, and everybody come down to the house of God and worship and praise him? And you hear about that. But I thought about the opportunity that we've got now is greater than that. We're in a more ungodly world now than we was 50 years ago or 100 years ago. I'm telling you, the scripture says people shall wax worse and worse, so it's got worse. And it gives us the opportunity that we can accomplish something through the work of God. And like I said, we're not going to take it with us. We might as well use it while we're here. You got an ability, you got something you can use, you got a testimony, you best share it here. Best share it here. and get that done. Well, let's have a verse of song. I'm going to close with that. I believe that's the message God sent here today.